Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 57 for Friday, May 22nd, 2015.
Good evening. Certain fat bike executives feel it would be a little unkind to present this show without just the word of friendly warning. Well, we've warned you. From River West, Milwaukee, where we're all so excited, we're vibrating, actually shaking like an old rock polisher. It's the Weekly Dose of Fat. And now, two men who put the rad in radio, it's Sven and Gomez.
Howdy, everybody.
Nah, I feel rad.
Are you vibrating?
Well, not really. Working on that.
And
I am.
We are joined in the studio today by Mr. J.K. Levin.
Yes, I'll be doing like Bud Melman and Chris Elliott.
Bud Melman, the guy that did the...
attempting of the lift.
Or okay. David Letterman.
Bye-bye, Dave.
Yeah, Dave. Bye, Dave.
Out of here. Dave's out of here. Bananas.
Uh-oh. Are bananas good on this show? Or is it bad?
It's good. It's the Marlon Brando guy. Chris Elliott doing the banana dance.
Well,
bananas.
Well.
On the island. I'm all misty because of it.
The Weekly Dose of Fat is brought to you by our friends at Surly Bikes. Surly makes steel bikes that are infused with freedom, all kinds of other hippie nonsense. Learn more at surlybikes.com.
Thank you, Mr. Surly. Moving right along, what's on the show this week, JK?
Our special guest is Scott Quiring, here to tell us all about Jordan Wakely's new race bike and fat tandems. We drink a beer from our beer shaman, Julio.com. We'll have the Weekly Dose of Fat. Kenner Andy is going to be calling in about the world premiere of the Fat Camp podcast.
Hosted right here on Fat Bike Radio.
Indeed.
And we'll have links from all parts of the internets.
So, just to be clear, Jordan Wakely doesn't have a fat tandem. But I bet you he would win if he rode the fat tandem by himself.
By his own lonesome.
So, welcome to the beer thing.
Is it already beer time?
Beers.
Beer segment.
So, we're doing this big rack shootout, which means I'm slanging racks all over Northern Illinois and Wisconsin. So, I met Julio.com out in the woods. We rode bikes and we traded tires and we shucked racks, and he gave me a present of zombie dust by Three Floyds. Both Julio.com and I are was bonded down there in Indiana, right where this beer is made. It's probably the most toxic place on earth.
They infuse their beer with a little toxicity.
So this here beer is an American pale ale called zombie dust, and it's supposed to be badass, dude.
It's got a rad label.
Metal. Very metal.
Oh. Oh.
Jeez, that sounded like a rocket.
Yeah. I didn't even have my glasses on. And I got hit before.
I'm going to fuck somebody up with that.
It's
man, it's piney, tangerine, grapefruity smell. It's supposed to be gushing. According to Beer Advocate, this is the perfect beer.
Perfect.
8,271 people said perfecto. The bros said, not world class, just outstanding at a 90. What's up, bros?
Bros.
Yeah, it checks in at 6.2 alcohuses and 60 international bitterness girlfriend units. I still haven't figured out.
Sexual chocolate without the chocolate, though. Oh, my God. That's pretty good.
It's tasty.
Mm-hmm. I like that it was added into Beer Advocate by Hans Gruber.
Yeah, Hans, I noticed Gruber. That. All right.
Wow. Formerly known as Centigraft.
Yeah, they did some kind of collaboration with the comic industry with this rad graphic.
Yeah, it's almost like a badass looking Skeletor, but
cheers, boys.
Clink.
And you Philistines are drinking this out of the bottle.
That's the way it goes. That's the way she goes, boys. That's the way she
fucking goes.
It's not festival season, so I always be carrying around little plastic cups.
I really, really thought up that line in Stewie's voice. You Philistines are drinking this American pale ale. Yeah. It works better. Do a good Stewie, but
no.
You get the whole gist of it.
Yes.
I don't do it very good, but yeah, that would have been funny.
Well, this week's Beer Buzz is sponsored by Uncle Dick's Bead Slip. Professional mechanics agree, Uncle Dick is bad to the bone.
Bone, 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 bone.
Check him out at UncleDick'sBikeShop.com.
Hey, we'll be right back with this week's radio guest, Scott Quiring, right after this.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
RSD Bikes is having a sale. Get fat for less dough.
RSD Bikes is clearing out their 2015 Mayer Fat Bike for as low as $1,399. Carbon fork and Bluetooth builds are available to buy direct from RSD till they're gone. Contact info@rsdbikes.com to take advantage of this limited time offer.
Go on. Take a shot at our Mayer while he's down. Hey, please welcome to the show, everybody, Mr. Scott Quiring.
Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Oh, it's going good. I'm glad to be on the show. I guess I have to say right from the start that I was really happy with some of the coverage that Gomez was able to do at NABS last spring, so that was pretty cool.
Well, right on.
Ooh, yeah. A pat on the back for Gomez.
I know. Somebody read my article. So for those of you that don't know Scott is a custom bike fabricator from Freesall, Michigan, with a ton of experience building 29ers, 29 plus fat bikes and fat tandems. And
Scott just built a 29 plus tandem race rig for Arrowhead 135 champion Jordan Wakely.
So we asked Scott to come on the show to talk about Jordan's new rig and tell us what's up for Mr. Jordan, Scott.
Okay. Well, I guess maybe it might help to just kind of discuss a little bit who Jordan Wakely is as far as a racer. You did mention the Arrowhead 150, him being the champion of that. He also has just been like a dominant fat biker at races in the Midwest here. And so in the summertime, he likes to race the pro-class races and do cross-country events. So pretty much he kind of came to us, I would say, like last fall, and was like looking at our 29er plus bike and being like, whoa, that's a pretty cool bike. So essentially, Jordan had already kind of discovered himself that these plus-size wheels were really working well for him.
Right. He came from riding a Borealis fat bike that he had 29 plus tires on that he fell in love with and won some races on, and then found himself without a team, and you guys picked him up, right?
That is correct. I think also, you know, for Jordan, the appeal to ride one of our frames was that he was really looking for a cross-country type bike. You know, there's different types of plus type bikes. You know, you can have the adventure sort, you can have the fun trail type 29er plus bikes. But what Jordan was really looking for was a cross-country race bike where everything was optimized as far as the 29er platform to the kind of racing needs that he, you know,
sure,
was going to encounter while he's racing.
So his frame is not like a Krampus, all laid back and stretched out and slack in the front. It's probably a lot more steep and quicker handling, right?
That is correct. Yeah, so like, you know, basically with this bike design that we did for him, he has the ability to adjust his head tube angle, and he runs it really steep, so it's quicker turning, more nimble bike. And then his bike also has a lot shorter chain stays.
Yeah, very cool. Now, you mentioned the fork. This fork has a rainbow trout paint job. Did you, I've been to your shop, and I know I probably know the answer to this, that you probably painted this yourself. So I'll just ask the question. Did you do the painting of that beautiful rainbow trout fork on that bike?
Yeah, we actually did that in the shop. It was a little bit of a joke because Jordan comes from the Grayling, Michigan area.
Right.
So, like, he's, you know, they're really big into fishing there, and there's a lot of rivers and streams and stuff. And he had spent a lot of time canoe racing.
All right, right.
Growing up, so we're like, this would be a perfect little trademark for him.
Yeah, Jordan is like wilderness man. He's truly an aquatic lumberjack or something, something crazy like that, where his job was to paddle canoes up the streams and to cut trees from the streams to keep them all clear. At least that's the story I'm telling right now. That's the legend of
the legend of Jordan Wakely. So Scott,
yeah, I definitely agree
with Jordan. He's a pretty big guy. He's tall, and obviously he has a lot of power. Did his physical size present any kind of challenges when you designed the frame for him?
Not so much. I mean, I've had a long history of building, you know, basically hundreds of frames for bigger, beefier, stronger dudes. Jordan tends to be a little bit rough on his frames, from my understanding, so we chose to work with titanium for him because it would give him the lightness that he would want for the cross-country racing, but also the toughness, you know. Like, titanium is a very strong material, so that's why we chose titanium, just pretty much the optimal material for building a frame for him.
And you mentioned that you'd built really short chainstays compared to some of the other 29-plus bikes out there. Did you have to do any custom fabricating, like of the yoke area and stuff, to make that happen?
Yeah, we still use the 6-4 plate style box yoke that I've had on my other fat bikes and stuff. So we did do that. We optimized it. Basically, I think he's running 17-inch chainstays, which is fairly short, but you know, you actually have to balance that out with the proper head tube angle, too. So, you know, we give him some short chainstays, but we also balance that out with the front end of the bike. So, you know, I mean, it's like you can make really short chainstays, but then have a slack head tube angle, and it wouldn't do you a whole lot of good. You know, it's better to have more of a balanced position, you know, on the bike.
Sure. Well, you got a lot of experience doing that for sure. I'm sure he's very happy with it.
I don't know about you, but I keep on seeing, since Jordan got this bike, I keep on seeing him not just on the podium, but at the top of the podium of a lot of races. So do you have a list of the races that the new bike has won?
Well, I think most of his racing has just been in Michigan so far, and, mm-hmm. and he's got about 5 races that he's just totally dominated and ripped people's legs off. You know, he started off at the Yankee Springs time trial, and he probably took about 3 minutes off of second place, which was Mike Simonson, who's slouch. I mean, this is a guy who travels around and does the NUE series.
The Simonator.
A few weeks ago, you know, Jordan won the Mud, Sweat, and Beers event, which had about 800 participants in that race. So, I mean, he's definitely proven good to his word as far as being a strong racer and putting his bike through the paces. I think it really helps him to have a good custom bike.
We talked a little bit about the frame and the fork. What else did you decide would be good componentry for his bike?
It's pretty basic. I mean, we're using just regular mountain bike cranks, the Race Face Cinch Next SL cranks. Mm-hmm. He uses an X01 drivetrain. You know, so it's a one-by system. With the 29er plus wheels, he turns a massive 36-tooth front ring, which is pretty big considering those wheels are actually like 30 inches
right.
In diameter. So he's riding that pretty fast.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I ride a 30.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on my 29 plus 2 with the 1x is a 30.
6 teeth on the front is like, what is that, like 12 teeth in the back, right? So, that's fast. Yeah. Well, very cool.
Yep.
So when we talked earlier in the week on the phone, you told me that you're staying really busy after NABS with Fat Tandem builds. Can you tell us a little bit about, we talked a little bit about, you were saying how the fat and plus size tandem really tames the beast that is tandem riding, single track, and whatnot. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've done a few fat bike tandems and 2900 plus tandems, and kind of what we're finding is as we get into building these, you know, we're at the tip of the spear, so to speak, of getting out there and trying these designs. So, you know, when you're tandem riding, it's not uncommon to have a 400-pound team. And so then plus a bike, you might be up to 450 pounds riding through the woods. Well, when you're in the soft terrain and stuff like that, it's like with the skinnier tires, the 2-inch tires and stuff on a normal 29er mountain bike, you're always finding yourself like concentrating really hard not to knife it into the dirt or go sideways or go down. Well, when you switch up to a 29er plus wheel, a 3-inch tire, or the full fat, like a 4-inch fat tire, you know, you just have a lot more contact patch on the ground. And so I think it's just like the advancement of the tandem going from 26 inches to 29 inches. It's kind of like the same jump up, but as far as your control and traction, it's just that you're going from 29-inch tire, a 2-inch wide tire, or 2.25-inch tire to a 3-inch. And it just gives you that much more added control, safety, and braking, you know.
Sure, I can think of a similar analogy of braking on tandems is when you went from cantilevers or V-brakes to disc brakes. It's like the technology caught up with the extra weight and size that a tandem brings to the off-road cycling picture. It kind of is the... Do you think that makes sense?
Oh, for sure. I think basically a lot of technology has improved the way we can ride bikes. You know, lighter drivetrains, lighter handlebars, lighter, you know, better brakes. All these things are advancing, but the tire contact patch hasn't really grown. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like trying to drive down the highway with your low beams on at 70 miles per hour. You're just overdriving your headlights.
Sure.
Well, all these light, fast bikes, you got this 2.25-inch tire, you know, on your 29er, you're overdriving that contact patch, you know? It's like kind of a little bit scary. So in some situations, you know, if you lose traction, you're going to biff it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and it's not very pretty when you see an off-road tandem crash.
No, actually, for sure.
I actually saw a pair endo their tandem at the Schwamigan 40 at gravel road speed. It was kind of a transition from the road to a big downhill with baby heads on it. And I could not believe how high in the air that stoker was when they got launched down that hill. Oh my God. It was horrible.
Scott, you mentioned...
Yeah, that sounds bad.
You were saying that, you know, doing these tandems with the new tire sizes is you're kind of on the cutting edge of it, and that there's 450 pounds of bike and riders. How are the tires themselves holding up to that kind of abuse?
They hold up excellent, actually. So do the rims. You can just run conventional spoking patterns, really. The actual tire itself, being that it's 4 inches in diameter, you know, you do have to add more air pressure than, say, if you're just riding a single. But the nice thing is the bike is so padded, you know what I mean? And the rim is so padded. These fat bike tires are taking up a lot of abuse that would normally be translated into the frame, you know, so, or the wheel set in itself, you know what I mean? We haven't seen any problems with breaking spokes or, you know, breaking hub flanges or anything, or rims denting. So
I know that's kind of crazy.
I don't see that as being an issue.
We had that thought a while back when all of the Holy rims started coming out. I'm like, well, they're pushing the weight, and will that mean that all of a sudden we're going to see a lot of tacoed wheels? And you just don't see it. The tire really does eat up a lot of the abuse on the trail. So that speaking of tires. Now, what kind of tires is Jordan running on his race rig?
Well, we have, you know, there's actually quite a limited selection of 29 plus tires right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, I don't think by, you know, when he's competing against these other guys running 29er wheels, you know, he's kind of a little bit of a disadvantage because he just has to pick one tire that he thinks he can do it all, you know. So we outfitted him with Nards. They seem to roll pretty well. But he also likes to run that Bontrager Chupacabra, you know, tire.
That's a great tire.
And that one, you know, that seems to be a good one for leaf-type riding or black dirt, maybe a little bit of mud. Whereas, you know, in my opinion, I think the Nards roll a little bit better, but, you know, don't have some of the gripping characteristics of the Chupacabra. So,
yeah, it's shoulder knobs. So, that on that
Chupacabra. Yeah, not as much shoulder knobs.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Scott. You just are awesome. And people that have not seen Scott's frames, go to fatbike.com and do a little search, or maybe we'll put a link to a search for Scott's work. The yoke that we talked about is a work of art and makes his frames very unique. The welds are world-class, just perfect, beautiful scallops. The guy works in steel, tie, and has made stainless steel bikes and been not only an accomplished racer, but just a great advocate for fat biking in Michigan over there.
And an all-around swell guy.
Indeed. I'm going to camp in your backyard now.
Yeah, we should probably go over there and get a ride in with those guys.
No, that'd be no problem. We got plenty of space for you and plenty of good outdoors activities for you out here.
Killer, man. You haven't seen anything more funny than a fat guy trying to get out of a pack raft with a bike attached to it.
I can't get up.
Anybody give me a hand here? So you got that to look forward to.
Very good.
Well, you got to make sure if you're coming to ride around here that, you know, you got the plus size tires and the fat bike tires, because that makes riding in Michigan a lot more enjoyable. You know, in Jordan's own words, he loves how flickable, you know, a 29er plus bike is and how much he can drive it hard into corners and brake less and with more speed and not have to worry about the sand. So, and we have a lot of sand here.
Yeah. Probably explains a lot why both fat bikes and 29 plus bikes are a little bit more ahead of the curve here in the Midwest than they are out on the West Coast. When we were at Sea Otter, it was funny. Not many fat bikes. Yeah. And people out in the West just don't seem to understand them yet, even. And it's obvious that the conditions here kind of drive the fact that they're the bike for the soft conditions.
Right. Well, if we gave them 148-inch or 180 inches of snow in a winter, right, they'd be kind of scratching their head what to do. You know, fat bikes really help to bring the shoulder seasons into play in the winter and getting out there and stuff. So it's good. It's awesome. I love fat bikes and 29er plus bikes and plus bikes in general.
Killer, dude. Well, thanks for being on the show. You rock. Ken and Andy are
okay. Thank you.
Ken and Andy are going to do a little show. You guys should they should have you on the show.
Their Fat Camp podcast is coming up.
All right, bro.
Thanks for having me.
Next time you see me, I'll just be camped in your backyard.
Okay,
don't be alarmed.
I'll give you the key and you can take a shower.
All right. I'll probably need a shower by then.
Exactly.
All right, dude. We'll see ya.
All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Okie dokie. That was Scott Quiring, ladies and gentlemen.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Fat Radio.
Hi, this is Jordan Wakely. When I'm not winning races, I'm listening to Sven and Goldmez on Fat Bike Radio.
This is your weekly dose of fat.
Welcome back to the radio program. Here's Goldmez with a surprise for JK.
Not much of a surprise anymore, is it? He's acting all surprised.
And blushing or something.
So when I was
peeing on the floor.
When I was down at Nab's in Louisville, I met Andrew from ATM Handmade Goods. And we talked about, you know, maybe him doing a frame bag for us. And it was actually for me, but I have like two of everything.
Yeah, you can't have any more stuff. You just don't have anywhere to put it.
Well, and to be fair, it'd be nice to see what somebody else going. I've already gone through the custom bag making a couple of times. That whole process of the creative process and the template process. So we are going to have JK go through that process with Andrew. And Andrew makes these crazy cool bags that, like, we'll put a link in the show notes of the coverage we did at NABS, but he had bags that had like a clear panel in them that had like, it was specially spaced so that you could have six beers in there. So you could actually have like six different beers or six PBRs or.
And they can look out into the world. It's very humane of it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking like the urban sombrero of, you know, the JK Livin version of a frame bag for your new Schlick Cycles. Is that a Tatanka?
Tatanka.
Cool. And it's, I think, you know, he can absolutely do something color wise that mimics or contrasts or, anyway, it's the ball is in your hands. And, you know, he'll write a couple.
Excuse me.
He'll write a couple of articles about that.
Oh, yeah. And then it would be, you know, transferring from back to crotch.
Yeah, we talked about that. How your whole backpack then would become, you know, the flask holder on there. I mean, and this guy can make like separate pockets just for your flask holder.
Nice.
He's a talented guy.
Yeah, and his if you want to really check him out, you can see atmhandmadegoods.com.
Right on. We'll have a link in the show notes there.
So it's coming up on Memorial Day here.
I know.
It's like a week early. I keep thinking it's the following weekend, but it's really this
five,
one.
Five Saturdays in May this week. Well, this month.
Sorry. That's right. Have you guys been crashing on your bikes like they've been crashing at the Indy 500 qualifying?
No.
Holy mackerel.
No.
Speaking of Endo's on a tandem, boy, Helio, boy, doing a flippy flip. But yeah. You guys got destinations? What are you doing over the holiday?
I'm staying close to home, and we're going to have a barbecue with a big freaking pan of paella, me and my Mexicali friends. Going to get together and live like Basque terrorists there in West Ossia. And ride bikes because, you know.
Flinging saffron like it was indiscriminately.
Damn right. Yeah. Hey, way to make that foodie reference, man. Yeah.
Occasional moody. Occasional Mike strikes
again. Mike is the moody foodie. I think that should be your new website.
And sir.
Moodyfoodie.com.
Thanks to some of my friends, I have, and Kenosha County, I have kick-ass trails very close to my house, so. I think I will just brap right around there.
Right on.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue my my plus bike. You know, since we got this plusbikes.com thing going.
Yeah.
There's stuff to write about again, and I'm enjoying.
Oh wait, you stopped writing. you never stopped writing.
I really haven't ridden my 29 plus bike since last fall.
Yeah.
So I was like, well. Kind of like the weather to ride it in now. So I really, we did an urban assault thing on Sunday where we were out there for 11 hours.
Yeah.
And it's a great platform for just terrorizing a city.
I agree.
And I think we only got followed once by a guy in a silver pickup. Hey, dude, I don't know if you're just grooving on what we were doing or you were mad at us.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah. I noticed that. Yeah. In my rear look back.
Like, I'm what? Just the sorry you going? Couldn't follow us where we went because that's part of what these bikes are good at is off-road activity, which we did plenty of.
Yeah, and I ended up doing like nice little curb slide.
Oh yeah, that was rad. We were going through a parking structure just as part of the thing, and it was kind of damp in there. And he did like a skateboard curb grind with the back of the bike, just like brap.
Caramba!
Yeah,
but came sweet. Out of it. Didn't need it.
Didn't need it.
Yeah. O'Gallagher was behind him. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, dude, what are you going to do?
OG had one of Hayes's Manitou's new Magnums on his Krampus.
Oh, really?
which he's digging a lot.
Very cool. We got to get him. We'll have to do an in-depth interview
with
the OG.
I got one of the new 20
probing questions, like,
does your arm hurt from hooking stones
at beer bottles?
What kind of toast do you like, man?
You like toast with that jam? And I picked up one of the new 27.5, 27 plus, 6 fatty B plus Manitou Magnum forks, which is going to go on an ape because we're testing that theory that the 4-inch fat bike sized.
Praise the Lord. Somebody had to test it.
Yeah. 4-inch fat bike tire and this 27.5 by 3. Bam. I'm ready. So that'll be happening within the next week or so. I got to get some hubs. I'm trying to figure out what kind of hubs I'm going with.
Hey, you guys. Beer stuff. Tired.
Oh.
Top of the hill.
Gomez has to go potty.
He's doing the dance as he's leaving. Yeah, but this weekend I'm going to end up checking out the trolls up in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. I'm not really familiar with anything in that area, but
there's some cool stuff over there.
Yeah,
I'm definitely.
I'm going to just tear around.
I've been to Mount Horeb a lot, and they have trolls.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that.
It was the first place they had a Duluth Trading Company outlet store, too.
Ah.
Which is some nice gear. I like their pants.
And with trolls, there's always a bridge.
That's true. And what do you do with a bridge?
There's always a bridge.
You go under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
If they would let me ride my bike inside Cave of the Mounds, that would be pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
I think
I might have to just like buzz the tower and see what I can get away with.
I think we have to go down to Kentucky to legally ride in a cave, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that's rad.
But, so Memorial Day. I'm going to go see Book of Mormon.
That's cool. That's cool. That's only this week, right?
I'm not sure of the schedule of it. My wife picked up the tickets, but my family history is Mormon, although I am not of that tribe. It's definitely, I know a lot about the history of the whole thing, and it's going to be kind of interesting to see how Trey Parker and Matt Stone make a little jest of it.
That's cool, yeah. And I just started reading Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and the study in Scarlet is a reference.
Did I miss anything?
The Mormons and trolls. I hope Mormons, trolls, and mounds.
I hope you didn't miss the toilet.
No.
My aim is true here.
Where it lands, there it shall be buried.
Did we delve into the links yet?
No, I could give a shout out to Marcus Downey because it's his birthday today. Oh, yeah,
Marcus Downey's birthday.
You know, that guy he's on his third fat bike now and he hasn't gotten rid of any of them.
Really?
Yeah, he's building another fat bike to take out to California where he works like 4 months of the year. So
He shall be a trendsetter in California.
Right? I'm thinking he can start spreading the love out there because he's not far from Stinson Beach, which is a pretty nice spot there north of San Francisco.
Cool. Oh. Man, you know the new bike I want? I really want to try that FSR Specialized, dude.
The Stumpy?
Yeah.
Oh.
I want one of those.
Replace the Turner Burner?
Yeah. And take it somewhere out west there that... Oh, here goes JK. He's beer stopping.
I could use a beer.
Right on. Sure, I'll take a beer. Why not?
Born in a barn?
No, actually a hospital in Gary, Indiana, which is basically a
Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana.
Hey, I've never heard that song before. It's amazing. Hey, did you guys hear about this new Fat Stevens pump?
Yeah.
From PDW?
We kind of saw some version of it at one point in the not too distant past.
They secretly showed us one of those things at some point at Interbike. At Interbike at about 5 o'clock when it was beer o'clock and we got beer koozies and
I don't know. Did we see it at Frostbike as well? Ow!
Damn.
Bastard.
That's like 3 bites at the apple of putting my damn goggles
on. Putting your glasses on. Well played, old sport.
So they've gotten far enough along in the design of it to actually offer it up on a Kickstarter project. Right. And from the looks of the picture of it, it seems to have a lot more volume than any of the other smaller right.
Bigger
pumps.
Bigger barrel.
Bigger barrel. So for your fat bike pump and needs.
So, you know, it seems like if you're, that's one of those things that if you're going to go and ride.
Storms brewing.
If you're going to go and ride in a group, you only need like every fifth person to have that pump.
We're like, hey, I got a Flint.
We should get the dimensions of it, and then JK can make his bag custom to fit that pump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a kegger pump, doesn't it?
Like oversized
kegger pump.
It really does.
They call it Fat Stevens. I was a huge Cat Stevens fan.
You mean Yusuf Islam?
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if there's any...
The morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken.
I don't remember the words to that song, but...
I always think of Peace Train. You know, that would be my song that I would have sang.
Peace Train?
Peace Train, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that one. I do kind of. Oh. So there's a Fat Bike clothing website out there?
Yeah. These guys... fatbikeclothing.co.uk.
You know what? I bet those guys were standing next to us at Interbike when we go, do you guys have any fat bike specific clothing? Because I ask that question quite really? Often. It's like, do you have a cool fat bike specific seat post by chance?
They have like a shirt that says fat bike.
I see. It's more of a design thing or a graphics thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not riding clothing. It's t-shirts and whatnot, but it's right cool. That's one of my links right there.
And in UK.
Helping commerce over there where the Queen Mother would like to collect some taxes off of those t-shirts.
I think you had a fourth fat story yesterday. Or tomorrow, depending on...
What was that look?
It's like
McMurphy and Where the Cuckoo's Nest.
Since we record this on Wednesday, but you listened to it on Friday.
This is true.
Was yesterday when you posted it.
Jeff Price from Wales.
Yeah, man.
On mandolin.
We didn't talk about you going to Iceland this week yet.
I know.
Damn it.
I've sent all my information and
right on.
Including samples of my brain tissue. So we'll see. We'll see if I'm really going. If we're there, you know.
Oh, I thought it was for like, face place. Like, you had to send a sample of hair or anything.
Oh yeah, Gomez got kicked off of Facebook.
I'm kicked off of Facebook because my real name is not Gomez. Okay, true confession.
Cats out of the bag, man.
My mama named me Gary.
Yeah.
That was my Indiana name.
Exactly. It's my Indiana name.
Yeah. So, your other links here. What do you got?
Well, Outside Magazine has an article about beach riding that actually Ken Blakey Shell has a picture in there, and that's Andy on one of the bikes. So if you click on that link, you can actually see the hosts of our new radio program, Frat Camp. World premiere this Saturday. At what time? What time are you going to get that post up there?
Probably 10 a.m. Yeah. Central Standard Time.
All right. You know,
Fat Camp. It's going to be a little bit more technically oriented than this kerfluffle we like to call Weekly Dose of Fat.
Indeed. And then Motobacan Boris.
Yeah, those guys over there at the Fat Bike Brigade.
Are they all three brothers? They're three brothers.
Yeah, we haven't got a lot of experience with the Boris, actually. I've seen a few of them, haven't actually ever ridden one myself.
I know.
And those guys have.
That's because, I don't know, why haven't we?
Well, one of the things they mention is that you can't make a $1,600 fat bike $700, so you're making some compromises. And they tried to doctor up some of those compromises, but, you know, it's a decent bike for the money, but don't expect to get, you know, a $2,000 bike for
right.
Just like any time.
There's a rough adage that is almost basically somewhat moderately true, which is
wow, you couched the shit out of that.
You get what you pay for.
Exactly.
You know, but it's not always exactly true. If we actually make that confession, then it kind of puts us out of business, because we just like to show everybody all the choices. Well, hey, look at this pump that hasn't been made yet. You could actually help pay for the tooling and you know, get one at a kick-ass price, and you get a cool little bag with it. Look, it's camouflage.
We've got a
Look at it.
We've got a caller lurking.
Dude.
Listening to us chatter.
Really?
Should we see who it is?
Hey, welcome to the radio program. Who do we have on the line?
Well, my name's Fred. I also go by Old Bear.
Oh, Fred.
I'm here in the Ozark.
Fred's called in before.
From Rolla, Missouri.
Yeah.
I remember Fred.
Yeah. Doing pretty good. I just wanted to call and just tell you guys that I've now lost a total of 78 pounds.
78 pounds.
Last July.
You know, how many sticks of butter is that? There's 4 sticks of butter to every pound.
It's 156 times 2. 312 sticks of butter.
It's like 7 regulation bowling balls. Or, well, maybe not really. 7 kids bowling balls. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. That's a lot of weight, dude.
Yeah, that's fantastic. This was at your doctor's recommendation that you shed some pounds, right?
Yeah, he told me, you know, he seen me on my fat bike and he goes, keep it up, keep it up. In fact, he might even get one. He's looking into getting one, maybe.
Very cool.
Right on.
I actually know somebody down there in Rolla, Missouri. His name is Dan Furman, and he runs a bike shop down there.
Yeah.
He's a tall drink of water.
Good bike shop.
Yeah. Tall. Is that your bike shop?
Not mine, but I go there.
Well, I mean, like, you shop there.
Your local bike shop.
Right,
is.
Your local bike
shop. Yeah.
Yeah. Dan's a real smart ass. Tell Dan Gomez said that he's a smart ass. I know his brother. I know his brother, too.
Wow.
Are they from Iowa?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Decora.
Brian Furman. Who has the record for the Decora time trials that they keep trying to beat. Both fast guys.
Wow. So isn't that a small world?
Yeah, I just got done with surgery on my right ear.
What?
I had cancer from the sun.
Oh, no.
And I'm a big advocate of using sunblock.
Yeah, that's for sure. You should definitely wear the sunblock.
Yeah, I have a thing on a forum called Fat Biking and Health, and I talk about my experiences, and I put some pictures of a before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And all the guys are going, you have a Bob Deere now. You have a Yoda here.
Nice.
I lost about 7/8 of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I have no place to hang a pair of glasses when I get them. But I'm a big advocate now. You better wear your sunblock when you get out there, because if you don't, you're going to wind up with all kinds of little problems. Thank goodness it wasn't melanoma. It was basal cell.
Yeah.
It just kind of encapsulates. It doesn't really spread a bunch. But I let it go too long, and that saved the year, so.
Yeah, I think that's what Dave had when he had that golf ball-sized hole in his head.
A friend of ours, Puck, had melanoma right
Not melanoma, basal cell.
Oh, yeah. Right in the middle of his forehead.
Yeah, and he had a great picture of it when they cut it out. It looked like a golf ball just came out from the inside of his head. Oh, boy. So, Fred, have you done anything to your fat bike since you got it? Or are you kind of still riding it as it came from the factory?
Well, I'm saving up to get some new tires and pedals. That's all I'm going to do. I got 1,200 miles in the sucker.
Killer.
And we just changed the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I've done so far, other than, you know, lubing it and stuff. But
sure.
I've been riding it the way it sits from the factory.
So do you ride down there at the Berryman and the Ozark Trail there?
Yep. Been out there a little bit. And there's another area. There's a little park down here in town that I frequent like 4 times a week. It's called the Lions Club Park. They got a 4.2-mile loop in there, or series of trails in there, and I ride them.
Killer, man.
I'm probably the only guy down there in the fat bike, except for a few other people that join me at times, you know.
So, well, you got to come up with, like, the Jesse James Fat Bike Club or something down there.
Yeah, we should.
Hell yeah.
Jesse James Outlaw Mountain Bike Club.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I love that area.
Oh, man, it's great down here, except I'm a congestive heart failure patient. I can't ride when it gets above 95, and now they've added humidity into that.
Oh, yeah, it gets hot down there. That's for sure. Yeah,
it's not hot today. It's only 46 out right now.
Yeah, it's crazy cold here, too. I had to turn the furnace back on.
I like that. It's a good riding temperature for me is 50 to 70.
Yeah, I rode yesterday morning when it was 50 degrees out, and I kind of forgot that it wasn't summer, so I just rode in just a polo shirt and shorts, and I was actually really perfect.
Very comfortable.
Pretty comfortable.
Comfortable, Mr. Man.
We got some big hills, and you know, you get the engine going, you stay warm.
You bet.
So, Fred, man, thanks for calling the show. You are our caller of the day. So we got to hook up with you, and you got to email us so we can send you some swag, bro.
Yeah, send me an email to info@fat-bike.com, and we'll send you some swag.
Yeah, we'll send you some cool stuff.
Let me know what size let me know what size shirt you wear and stuff like that.
Okay,
we'll see we've got stuff in the prize closet.
Yeah, hell yeah. So thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really enjoy your show. You know, we listen to it. We'll listen to the whole show tomorrow evening, you know, on computer.
Sure.
But I really enjoy the show. It's for me, it's like the Fat Biker's Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah. Gotcha. You know?
And we'll send you your check in the morning.
No, we ain't my dad.
All right, man. Thanks again. We'll talk to you. Hey, give us a call whenever you want. We're always here on Wednesdays.
All right, I will.
You bet.
Have a good one.
All right, I'll give you a report again next couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
That's good, Fred.
All right.
Keep it rolling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, we haven't heard from him for a few weeks.
I know. You know, that is not the only of our listeners that have contacted us that have told us their story about how fat biking has saved their lives. And it's a pretty common story in the exercise or outdoor enthusiast market, but it's pretty cool when people contact us. I've had a few people say, you know, my doctor, I had a heart attack and I had to get off the couch and get active, and a fat bike actually facilitated that happening.
Yep.
And now I'm back on the bike and I've lost all kinds of weight, and you know,
I think it's for people that are overweight, I think it's a great platform. It's forgiving. It's comfortable. It takes away a lot of the barriers that, you know, you can't just jump on a carbon road bike and go ride it. The fat bike really, they're more stable, and it's an awesome bike to get back into cycling on.
Absolutely.
And if health is the reason you do it, you know, it's great.
Yeah. Old mountain bikers, man, make great fat bikers.
I was just thinking how old I'm getting and how much I like riding a fat bike compared to an old, you know, I mean, when I started racing mountain bikes back in the early 90s, late 80s, boy, if I had to go back to one of those bikes again, I don't think I'd be riding a bike as much as I do.
True that. Absolutely. And that's not the poo-poo. It's like, that's one segment of fat biking. There are people that are just killing it and jumping, and fat biking is going to influence the entire fat bike culture. Or, I'm sorry, mountain bike culture.
Yeah. You bet.
Speaking of culture, how about some Pulse Bike love from our friend Bruce?
Yeah, he's got three different 29 plus bikes now.
Badass.
He has his Cram Pug, which was his first experiment with putting 29 plus on a Pugsley.
Mm-hmm.
He has a Krampus, and now he just got an ECR because he wanted a drop bar version of a 29 plus bike. And so he's got a couple of He's got at least part one and two of three parts.
You know what ECR stands for?
Extremely Craggy Rocks.
Extra Comfy Ride.
Or?
That's
Extra Credence Reading.
Extracurricular Radness.
Extra Crispy right. Revival.
Nice improv, Gomez.
Or Eric can't ride.
Eric, that jerk. Hey, speaking of Eric, thanks to Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast. Check out those rascals at surlybikes.com.
Hi, Eric.
Eric's my friend. Bye, bye, Dave Letterman. Bye-bye.
Eric's my friend on Facebook. I like him.
Yeah, except you can't see him today because you're banned.
It's true. Banned from Facebook. I'm not dead. I'm yet.
Sorry. Not yet. Not quite dead.
I'm sorry.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not sorry.
We're out of here. Well, it looks like Ken and Andy were a little busy tonight, but their show's going to debut tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. It's called Fat Camp, and it's a look at the technical side of fat biking. Check it out at fatbike.com.
World premiere! Ow!
See ya. Thank you.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.